Blog Talk Radio.
Stevenson Radio Show with Coach Ron Yarbrough. Guys, we have a lot to discuss tonight on this topic. The topic tonight is, do you believe that George Floyd deaths due to police intent or police indifference? There's a lot going on in the world today. I had someone actually basically reached out to me and they said, sent me a message, said, what do you think about everything that's going on in the world? I said, it's actually, it's horrible, but at the end of the day, it's not enough prayer in the world. We don't have enough people praying. And that's the lack of what's going on in the world today. Guys, if you don't pray, you should pray. Okay? Prayer is the reason for this season. Okay? Prayer is... this is what's lacking, and the devil is running loose. Okay, so don't forget that, guys. Pray. If you don't know someone to pray, if you don't know how to pray, just get on your knees and just start speaking. Start speaking to God, to Jesus Christ. He will show up. And when you start to pray, everything will fall in place for you. Trust me, words come to you, things, your mind open up. You'll be able to see and understand. This pandemic actually closed churches, but you can still pray anywhere. Okay? It closed a lot of churches this pandemic. And it's, at the end of the day, actually, it's not God's fault. Okay? It's the people. The hatred in people is what's causing this problem that we're dealing with, we're faced with today. From the pandemic to the death of George Floyd, the killing, okay? You guys, that music you just listened to a while ago, that's Shannon Muriel Holtz. Guys, you can reach her on LinkedIn, Facebook, also to Instagram, Shannon Muriel Holtz out of Houston, Texas. Can't beat her. Guys, she's also open up for bookings as far as parties, any events you can think of, basically clean events, actually, she's there for you. And she's an awesome, awesome entertainer. Shannon Muriel Holtz. She's really based out of Houston, Texas. So Shannon Muriel Holtz, you can reach her. And if you can't reach her, you can reach me on my email, stevieraid11@gmail, or my Instagram, stevieanderson3713. And I can make sure you guys reach out to her. We get in touch with her. For sure. Shannon Muriel Holtz. Also, too, guys, if you guys are golfers, get a chance to take a look at Swiss Grips. Swiss Grips, those guys have some grips that you can be put on your golf clubs, and what it does, it fits in your hand like a glove. And just like wearing a shoe, if it doesn't fit, it's not going to work. Your feet's going to hurt. But this grip has the right comfort and feel that you need when you swing a golf club. You go to Swiss Grips, okay, SwissGrips.com. Those guys are really good. Also, two guys for in the media. Also, two you guys getting the website. I'm actually getting the website designed. And my website was a little bit, I just need to be like revamped for what's going on with the things I've been involved in these last few years. So you guys get a chance, go to Modern Creative, okay? It's actually CREATIF. And then you have Mia D. Martin, okay? That's Modern Creative, and that's Mia D. Martin. And also, too, Yarbrough. Ron Yarbrough has his book. His book is called Believe So You Can Achieve by Ron Yarbrough. Ron Yarbrough, former player for me from New York Jets, he should be joining sometime during the show, has really, really gotten into specifics in his lifetime in the world that's actually have pushed him through adversities. And this book is a book that you guys should actually make sure you check it out. It's called Believe So You Can Achieve by Ron Yarbrough. Okay. And also, two guys, you get a chance for CBD. There are some guys out there, they hear CBD, they kind of run from it. But guys, please don't run from this group. New Life Freedom. They're really, really good. They're really good. Actually, it kind of helps you basically, too, if you can't sleep as well. They have all different type of CBD products that will fit your need or what you need to be having your system or have to actually make it for your joints, sleeping, et cetera. And at some point, I'm going to do a show on these guys, New Life Freedom. Make sure you guys check that out. Also, too, guys, I want to let you guys know, don't be distracted about all the evilness that's going on out there tonight and just right now with the violence we have out there during the protests and just in general with everything that's occurring right now that's being thrown out there. It's bad when you have kids talking about it. You know, when I was growing up, kids, they kind of kept things from kids, and it wasn't as violent as it was right now as it is today, but it's really, really out of control. Guys, I'm going to give you a little history of about George Perry Floyd, okay? George Perry Floyd, okay? George, on October 14, 1973, through May 25, 2020, was a 46-year-old African-American man who was born in Fayetteville, okay? Fayetteville, North Carolina, okay? That's where George Floyd was born, okay? And raised in Houston, Texas, he attended Yates High School, where he played on the basketball and football teams. Floyd actually was a tight end, star tight end for Yates, okay, on the football team, helping them to a 1992 state champions final game, okay. Also, two guys, Floyd was, he attended South Florida Community College, and also two from 1993 to 1995. And he played on the school's basketball team there. That's where Floyd played at, okay? Floyd also returned to Houston, where he joined the hip-hop group Screw It Up Click. Those guys had a good thing going. I really enjoyed listening to the Screw music. It basically kind of slows down. When you play the music, it's like you're just dragging. But it was really, really good, Screw It Up Click. And rapped under the stage name Big Floyd. Wow. After entering Houston hip hop culture scene as an automotive customizer, in 2014, Floyd moved to Minnesota. Okay, he wanted to make a change in life. He moved to Minnesota. He lived in St. Louis Park and worked in nearby Minneapolis as a restaurant security guard for 5 years. He lost his job due to this minute in Minnesota at the stay-home order during the COVID-19 pandemic. And I wondered too, guys, if this pandemic wasn't going on, what would have happened? I wonder if Floyd would be still living right now today. You know, my mom said a lot of times your death. I'm gonna leave that alone because I'm gonna talk about that later. That's another time. Floyd was the father of two daughters, ages 6 and 22 years of age, who remain in Houston. Okay, and that's George Floyd's bio and history. Okay. Now, guys, if listen to the show, going to the show tonight, there was actually comments in the show that was made that I'm going to discuss too on the topic tonight. Actually, during the show, I was stating about what was going on with this topic about the indifference and basically an intent. And mine felt like it was an intent, okay? The police officer was out for him to do harm to Floyd. That's just my opinion. And, that's for sure. That's what happened, in my opinion. And also, too, I had some comments about, it says crazy times, and, you know, people telling me to be safe in the comments, and I was doing that. And also, too, I had someone to, I'm going to go and get on this before I get into the show about Floyd. Basically about a time when I was in my little small town, and people want to talk about what's going on out there for us, the prejudice and whatnot that could be going on out in the world today. And actually, that was a situation that I was dealing with in my hometown. It was actually the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, someone had mentioned in the topic basically that I was at my hometown and they were there beside each other, kind of like not understanding why this is happening in our small town. So basically what happened one day, I was in high school, I was going to my senior year, my junior year in high school, and I heard my mom talking over the phone, and I was actually there kind of, you know, just I don't know, I was at the house, I guess at the right time, you can say, and my mom talking about, she's talking to a friend of mine, a relative, saying like, oh, the Klan's uptown in Jonesboro. She said, the Klan's uptown? And I overheard and I was like, what? The Ku Klux Klan is in my hometown? And she said, Steve, don't you go up there? You better not. And I said to myself, like, no. They can't have this in my town. Because I thought about my town because my class of 88, we had like a strong connection. We felt that this was the year that we was going through school to give that difference that our little small town was lacking. I mean, not lacking, but just kind of give it an extra push that we felt was needed. Class of 88, we still feel that way today. So I told my brother, and he actually said, let's go. He's ready to go. And we went up through town trying to gather some guys up and whatnot. A lot of guys just did not show. They didn't want to actually be involved. And at the time, I didn't understand it, that they wouldn't go up and try to protest in the right way about what is being actually that's wrong, has been thrown out there among people. So at my age now, I understand a lot of guys that want to go up because behind those sheets, you never know who's behind them. And at the same time, too, a lot of guys, too, for their job security. And I was, my intention was to go to high school and move away from my hometown and life. So I see it. I kind of understand some things now today, but for sure it was definitely different about, to me, that they didn't follow. But we went on up there, me and my brother, and actually I had a lot of elderly black individuals that actually showed up. Most of the young individuals, they didn't really show. Not black, I would say. But there were some, even other people of other nationalities, it was black and white. I'm not going to say not that many young black people up there, but there were people showing up. And it became very, very heated up there, and it was just very, very unusual, very, very weird. But what happened is that we ended up staying up there for a while, and there was a friend that had mentioned a comment. She actually was there together, kind of just sitting down, just kind of like confused, like, we cannot believe this has actually happened. Even though the stories my mom used to even talk about driving, when she used to drive to Arkansas to school, she used to tell us stories and about sometimes she'd be driving and she would see burning crosses, things like that, going through the backwoods of school. And we just sit down, listen to her, and she's telling us also, too, about when you're approached by law enforcement to, we talked earlier on age about to obey the commands, even though you don't, may not want to obey what they're saying, but do that for, that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm not saying that's as far as just with the racism part goes to that, but it's just, period, we did that, and we'll talk about that. But, yeah, that was a situation to me. It just felt like it wasn't even real that was happening, but it did happen in my small town, and eventually it got really, really heated, like I said, and well, you know, we were out there and with them face-to-face, and eventually the police department came up and was able to break everybody up, and everyone went their separate ways. But, yes, that was a situation that would always be in the back of my mind for the racism that's, that I went through. And I'll tell more, God said the same, I can finish this book. I'll share more about that into the book. But but I had to talk about that. That was in the comments, and I didn't want to veer away from that. But that was a serious situation that happened in my life that I want to talk about. Back to Floyd, George Floyd's death due to police indifference. Me, honestly, like I said, it felt that something was just off about the whole situation, about him being stopped, and you could say the way he was treated, you know, it was just actually just awful. You don't hold anybody down for over that long to think as if that's not intentional. And my opinion, it was definitely intentional. Of course, the difference is there, but yeah, it's definitely intentional what was done. It was just not right. No one should have to go through what George Floyd had to suffer. The thing about it, too, is that for your listeners, you got to understand, too, there is a such thing called a citizen's arrest. Now, my thing about that, if I would have been and around the many people that were sitting around, I don't care if they are law enforcement. They need to understand that they can be arrested, too, especially when they're taking someone's life in front of you. There's a such thing as a citizen arrest. And And the thing is, I truly believe that people, they didn't know. And I think that the people that was around, if they would have known, they would have done so. Because you have certain individuals now that can license to carry. And if so, license to carry, if someone's been harmed, that person need to know that the license to carry, and that if you go ahead and you kill this person and is suffering, that there need to be actions taken. I'm not saying necessarily to shoot someone, but also to someone need to have, I'm not blaming the one, but people need to know in the future that is such thing as citizen arrest. And basically, that just kind of eats me up that was allowed and that was happening, and people had to sit there and watch that. We had one officer sitting, kind of hanging around, kind of basically guarding what was going on, and that just didn't make any sense to me at all. But the thing about the citizen's arrest, that should have been taken, should have been done, and unfortunately it wasn't. Now, George Floyd situation is kind of, there's a lot going on that I'm going to do a part two on the show. I'm going to have some guys call in and to break it down probably further, that certain things have been thrown out there and people have been talking about should be done on the situation. So that was supposedly the $20 bill that was actually counterfeit, okay? But at the end of the day, I don't care if it was a $1,000 bill that was counterfeit. What was done was totally wrong, okay? So that's what we need to know. That was totally wrong. George Floyd, okay, saying that he was a fantastic gentleman, okay, number one. But the problem is we have out today, we had a lot of people out here, individuals today, are actually that's straight up have the devil in them and straight up this racist. And that's the sad thing about what's going on in the world today. There are people out here with the intent to destroy African-American men, police officers. And there are actually some that are not, many that are not. But unfortunately, thanks for calling in. Welcome to Steve Anderson Radio Show. Of course, Ryan Yarbrough. Who's calling?
This is Alan Jones from Palm Desert, California.
Okay, hold on, Alan. Welcome to Steve Anderson Radio Show. Who's calling?
It's Coach Hallback, Bobby.
Oh, Coach Hallback, how you doing? How you doing, guys?
Goody.
Okay.
All righty.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Go ahead, Alan. Welcome to the show. I was calling. I was just talking about, you know, this is such a delicate topic. And what I'm saying is, I was just saying that there are some people out there that absolutely just hate black men, in a sense, and that's from police officers to certain other people in life. And it's unfortunate that our youth is actually having to see this, and. Also, too, there are some people out there that don't have a racist bone in their body. But unfortunately, George Floyd's death to me shouldn't have happened. And I was just kind of mentioning about such things as citizen's arrest. I was talking about that, and I was going to get into detail with that. And also, too, just about I was saying that that to me is just – holding him down like that, it was something more major that could have been going on that people don't know about with that guy, that officer, I want to call his name, while he was trying to stand on that long and everyone was on guard. It was more than just, it was something that was missing. It's a piece that's missing for him to do, the officer to do what it was done. and his death. But go ahead, Alan. Then almost Coach Howell would like to join in.
So, hello, everybody. That's quite a powerful statement you made, several, actually. And what I've gathered from this situation, like I said, I just called in and didn't hear a little bit of that precursor, but what you just said now relates to hating black men, or, you know, just having hate in your heart, period, because everyone doesn't. We heard people on the video beg and plead for the officer to check that, you know, the man in custody, et cetera, Floyd. We've humanized his name, and because of the knee-jerk reaction to violence, especially when it involves color, it can also be used as a manipulation mechanism for the ultimate goal of control. And what I mean is simply this. If any man was held down like that, knee on his neck, can't breathe, others pleading for, you know, some humanity, you know, arrest in a normal way, check him if you have to subdue him to this degree, check to make sure he's still alive, make it, you know, there are humane ways and techniques to do this. Every department has them. What it comes down to, if anyone's hurt to that degree, I have a degree of my humanity that pleads out no matter what color that man's neck is under that knee. Like you said, there's a piece of the story missing. Absolutely. We know that I'll blowtorch this real quick. I don't want to take up a lot of time. Excuse me. But as it's developing, we find out that the gentleman, I think police were originally called because of the passing of a counterfeit bill, $20 bill, et cetera. They get to the scene, make an arrest. During this arrest, there's another film that comes out that's part of a surveillance video, not cop-owned or anything, you know, by the business on the outside street, you know, maintaining that the surveillance of the front of the building. He's sitting on his hands after being handcuffed, and you can see him reaching in his back pocket because his hands are behind his back, and he flips out a bag of white powder on the sidewalk right up under his buttocks or just on the edge, and the camera has an absolute perfect view of all of that motion, far side of the officer. The officer never saw it, so it's not like he planted evidence or anything. They put him in the back of the patrol car, the SUV, and evidently he was combative to some degree that they had to pull him out of the back of the SUV. And during that time is when the subsequent knee to the neck and apparently the resultant, you know, the resultant death of Mr. Pullen. Now, we know his name. There are about probably 10 other officers who are white that have been killed over this same period of time during these riots, but we don't know any of their names. As a matter of fact, one cop is shot in the head in Las Vegas, and we don't know his name. The press are keeping that out of the papers, and he's fighting for his life as we speak. So you can see the kind of lopsidedness with this thing. You mentioned missing pieces. Well, the toxicology lab results came back from Mr. Floyd, and evidently it was fentanyl, I think it was, in particular, in his system at a very high dose, enough to, you know, easily affect 10 grown men. That's concerning because now you have these gentlemen know each other. They work, he works side moonlight, the officer, at the club or whatever. Mr. Floyd worked inside security or bouncer. The cop worked outside. Mm-hmm. They knew each other. There's more to the story, as you alluded to, when it involves counterfeit or allegedly counterfeit money. We can't say alleged drug use because toxicologists come back to confirm it was in his system. Both of them know each other in that degree. There's could be drug purchases and all and other connections to underground activity at that location. Mr. Floyd also was involved in, you know, as a porno star, et cetera. Not that anybody's job has anything to do with it. It's just the air of all of these interconnected underground activities that could even shed more light on this, because no one was aware of any of these type of things during the arrest. All they saw was a man arrested, nice man, knee on neck, dead. And that's enough in itself to cause chaos. However, it appears to me that how could he keep his neck, his knee on his neck for 9 minutes, even when he had other compadres there, his other fellow officer there keeping the crowd back, or the three or four people filming back. Where was his humanity in stopping it from going too far? I mean, questions you would ask yourself is, did he have the green light to do that? In all of this activity, did Mr. Floyd perhaps say, if you don't let me go, I'm going to tell on our drug selling operation? I mean, at the club. I mean, who knows? We don't know. It has to unfold. But yes, whatever it is, there is a missing piece that ties it together. And so I'll be quiet. Thanks for letting me dominate that scope of time.
And also, too, that someone, too, should have called 911. Even though the
exactly.
there and they've been through one, someone should have called 911 on the officer, what he was doing. I mean, if you had to throw a bottle,
was,
anything to get the distraction, to get that officer off of him, I mean, everyone knows that's suffocating him. And at that time, like that, what he was doing, that was, I'm just saying, for the future, for our listeners, call 911. If you have to throw something over there, the distraction, I don't care what it is. When you're doing something illegal, it's illegal. When you're killing someone, and you see someone killing someone, and you know it's wrong, you have to do something about it. But I'm not saying, I'm not blaming anyone in a sense that's there. I'm saying for the future, that let everyone know that there's such things as citizen's arrest or distraction. Call 911 on those officers, what they were doing. And now, those officers probably thinking now, I wish they would have called 911 because they went too far, because they're about to go through hell. Okay, I'm just mm-hmm. saying. But go ahead, Coach. If you can go and join in. Sorry about that. We were just talking. Go ahead.
No problem. I just, as my observation for what I see, I read a lot of body language, and his body language, face expression, and his demeanor, like, it was like, to me, like intent to harm, intent to do the damage that he did, because it could be some reservation behind that. But I'm going based on what I see and what I saw on the footage. So to me, everything else is outside the picture. That's my observation. Like, assuming, going on assumptions, I'm not going on that picture. I'm going on the picture that he showed based on his body language, face expression, his demeanor, and looking at his face. And like, it was almost like, yeah, I got you now, and that's what I'm doing.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
He was focused. Focused on that.
Yeah, you know something, Stevie? I didn't want to poison the talk with saying that was my impression, but exactly. It was as if the cop knew that he had the wink and the nod to go ahead with that. You know, he wasn't worried about getting into trouble. He was worried about being effective.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
You know, at staying right in that spot on his neck. You could see him wiggling about every, his, 2 inches, his knee, He was making sure and balancing just right to get the maximum amount of impact and weight and hold it there. He was struggling just holding it there for 9 minutes.
And trying to play it off.
That was my impression. Correct. That was my impression. Now, again, no conjecture. That was simply my observation, and it seems to echo what Coach says. So I just bothered to take a look further at the facts, because I realized I could be slanted. I said, but let me take a look. And everything I mentioned, by the way, is sourced and, factually represented, except for the part about, them being all in cohorts in some type of, drug enterprise. Absolutely, that's all my conjecture, and I've even said that, but absolutely the involvement is there. So you watch. The next few days, we'll find out another missing piece or two that has relevance, but none is more relevant than the knee to the neck that was directly applied in a manner consistent with departmental procedure, except for one thing. All the other police departments around the country, LA, disbanded using that technique because of this reason, except Minneapolis held on to it. Anyway.
Now, also, too, Alan, you want to let the listeners know where you're from, how can we reach, if they're looking for you, if they want to talk to you about any speaking engagement, anything
Absolutely.
Like that?
Sure. My, I tell you what, my best contact is good old email, actually. And due to ease, it's leave us a loan, like a home mortgage loan, leave us a loan at Gmail. L-O-A-N. So I make it real easy. And you know something, Stevie, Mr. Anderson, real quickly, I mentioned earlier about humanity and fairness and sense of justice. My brother was an investigative journalist, so some of this comes easy to me to take the time real quick to research something. So I'm kind of, that's kind of a mini hobby, if you will. However, I reminded myself of something the other day that you were talking about few years ago. We've been friends for over a decade, Stevie. And speaking of humanity, you know that we have a big humanitarian and star on the radio show with us today. Mr. Anderson here, when he was a little younger, around 16 or so, speaking of humanitarian and sense of justice, found that there was a march downtown in his hometown. Do you know that Mr. Anderson buckled up, sucked it up, heard that the KKK was marching downtown and said, not in my town. You know, this is about inclusion, not exclusion. And he scurried downtown to join the grown-ups to protest. And that's a true story. So we're speaking in terms of a sense of justice. We have a gladiator and hero in our midst.
Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution to justice.
Congratulations.
You know, I think the thing is that, I'll be honest with you, like I said, you can count the people that was down there at a young age, okay? And one lady, she was a different nationality, you know, that was down there. She wasn't a black lady, but she was there. She was there with me, and we're down there looking, just kind of like shaking our heads, like they can't believe this is going on in my town. And I felt like that was my town, and when I was going to my town, I just felt from day one when I was going through Jonesboro, I mean, my town I was grew up in, and I felt that I could do something for my town. But, you know, God always have, you know, there's certain reasons for everything, and I'm still trying to get things in a certain sense for the town I grew. I just looked at life, my town, totally different. I loved my town I was growing in, and you know, a lot of times I just didn't want it to be divided, even though we're still working on that. And it's actually, like I said, that's another topic. But I guess that's why I went down there, and it was just instinct in a sense. And my mom was arguing that maybe don't go down there. And I guess too, I can understand that. I was mentioning earlier, I was talking about it briefly, but I can understand that. While a lot of guys, I guess black men, didn't come down, they had to save their jobs and their families and their town. So, but my intention was to always go farther. And I'm not saying that I'm different in a certain sense of going farther. I mean, some people need to stay there, work, and have a life and grow a good family, and they're still doing that today, which is a blessing. But my intentions from day one was never to stay in my hometown. It never was. But I always go back and visit. I go home and I'm honored to where I grew up. But it was a very, very confusing, but it's almost like I was angered because of the fact that my mom should tell me stories about what they went through, and my grandfather. I never see my grandfather smile, not one day, on my mom's side, not one day. I never see him smile. And I was riding the other day thinking, I was like, when did I ever see him smile? But maybe once. I mean, just a little grin. But, you know, he's talking about how he had friends. My mom's telling me my grandfather had friends that was buried alive. And I still sticks in my head. But so when someone's trying to play a little okey-doke racism on me, I just kind of laugh at it and keep going because I see it before it even come. And that's the advantage of living in the country and the area I grew up in. But I would say there's some good people down about where I'm from, all different nationalities, really good people. And I'm just praying that it can, you know, that life is, you know, going on and getting better. And we just got to kind of, we got to get this devil in this place. You know, the devil's roaming around, the racism, we got to kind of get that under control. But, And like I said, I'll talk about this later, you know, in the book or something. I don't want to talk the whole show about it, but you know, my older brother, he was ready to go. I mean, I said, I don't want to, it's real difficult to talk about, you know, it really is, because you never know who's behind those sheets. And when I went home back from playing ball and everything, I'm going to leave it alone. But I'm going to do it, whatever it takes to do what's right and fight what's right. I'm going to do it, though. You know, still today, I'm still going to do it.
I'm going to tell you why I mentioned that. I was sitting here doing the same thing. My mom implanted that in my brain, and my father, of course. I grew up in North Carolina, you know, there at the Woolworth sit-in. My mom was part of that, and friends at Martin Luther King Jr. In school, et cetera, for a while until he died. And, hell, I've got a letter from Coretta Scott King on my cell phone right now, actually. But bottom line is a sense of justice. When you're born with it, and you know when you spring into action, it's just like something that has to be done for humanity. It's beyond you when you do that kind of thing. That's all. But not to talk about that subject, because we already have one. And I'll be quiet and let all of us get back to it. But
yes.
I just wanted to know, thank you for your efforts to save humanity, because every little bit counts.
Absolutely. And I guess that comment would have gone through the online the other day, Coach Hallback. I know would even mention it. I guess it's like, do you remember this, right? And I was, you know, people want to know about certain things I tell them. You know, I tell them certain things I like to keep kind of, not private, but kind of just let people know. But it's difficult, man. It's rough. But my whole intention is that I don't want that prejudice in my town. That's all it was. That's all I was fighting for. I wanted that not to be not so in my town. Even though it was, I just didn't want it to be barged in, more or less, making a foundation. You know, I want that foundation to be broken up, and that's all I was fighting for. But Coach Hallback, let everyone know where I can be reached and what are you doing, all the contributions for yourself. Could you let us know?
My profession is a mental health therapist. Also, I work as a sports consultant for all sports, for all ages, amateur, professional, and collegiate. And I can be reached at my Instagram account at Bobby Hallback. Or BobbyHallback@gmail.com. And I've been in this field for like 5 or 6 years.
Okay. Awesome, man. That's a blessing that you're doing, man. That's awesome with the kids. And also, too, guys, let's not mention, too, in Minneapolis, it's been going through quite some situations and stuff. You know, Minneapolis police were sued a decade ago in a similar restraint case. Okay. Actually, the case in Minneapolis in 2010, I believe, death of David Smith, a black man mentally ill. Police tased him and held him face down. He died and was paid out to, I guess, his family, $3 million settlement. And that happened in Minnesota, Minneapolis. And I was just talking about how much I like Minneapolis. I like the area. It was kind of real comfortable, but also, too, not to forget this also, police officers supposedly trained and positionally especially, but, you know, it was basically prolonged restraint of a suspect in a prone position can be deadly, that physician, you know, that supposedly that was trained. That's mentioned basically that you was talking about too, in a sense, Alan, earlier. They still have that same training position. They're still in Minneapolis. But there's something how the devil runs in Rome, and Jesus always put a block in the road, put a wall. Now that we know that this restraint that Minneapolis has been doing for so long, it's not everyone in the world knows that it's been illegal, that the police have been doing. So now it's the dark has come unto light. And, you know, now it's going to have to change. But, Coach Hallback, you mentioned that that you feel that there was something else going on that the media is kind of holding on to. I would say not the media, as I said, the police department. Well, that's holding on to, that was a situation that occurred into this more than just a $20 freaking bill, counterfeit bill, you know, $20. Come on, man, give me a break, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it's like a hidden agenda, maybe by them crossing path, like Mr. Allen. Your name is Adam, right? Or Mr. Allen.
Allen.
Okay. I know you mentioned saying they had like past encounters by club site, and that's true. So, like I say, based on, you know, those rumors or assumptions or what could have occurred, we don't know. But I feel like it's something more attached to that, you know, and maybe there was the perfect opportunity to have the guy that lost his life in submission based on some past encounters between the officer and Mr. Floyd, you know. That's when I look at it, that's what I feel. But my first observation was what I stated earlier, but it had to be some history behind that. You know, it could just be a moment of the cop reflecting off other cops in other counties that, you know, got away, for instance, with the murder. You know, I know that in Georgia, you know, it's things like that. You know, it's like triggers, you know, that can lead to other triggers. So it could be like, okay, if they got away with it, well, let me see if I can get away with it. I'm not saying, like, that's the case, but you can read it any kind of way you want. You know, it's like almost like a copycat, but with different elements to the event that happened, you know. So, and I just feel like I just feel like it's more there, like animosity or some reservation behind that. But it was a perfect opportunity for the cop to show his superior at the time, you know, who's in charge, or I'm, you know, sad case all around. But that's my reading into it, you know.
It's funny you just mentioned that one word, his dominance over that situation, showing who's in charge. All of those kind of descriptions fit perfectly with the imagery as I roll the videotape in my mind of him over Mr. Floyd. It was a domineering position, and the body mechanics, mechanism, all of his mannerisms exuded. That was purposeful intent, in other words, and he wasn't veering from his, you know, from his stance, the policeman. That's how I perceived it. Now, whether that's true, it's all just perception of body, you know, of mannerisms and all. Like my mom used to say, watch carefully. Mannerisms will give someone away. Mannerisms will give, like if someone's trying to fake they're from the other side of the tracks or this kind of thing, just watch them a few extra moments. The mannerisms will give them away. And I grew up in North Carolina in Greensboro. I've seen Army tanks in the intersections, you know, the major intersections during the racial riots. So I know what civil unrest is about. And you had to be good at reading people to a degree, you know, growing up. So, you know, whatever that's worth. But I just had the feeling, and all the other stuff is extraneous, is just all extracurricular, good for conversation. But one thing for sure, no one came into the frame of the picture in the video and even let it be known that that wasn't A-okay in terms of his coworkers, any of the police officials or anything. By lack of showing, it was saying it's absolutely okay.
Yeah, of course.
No,
mm-hmm.
Humanity.
Of course. That's like conspiracy theory or you in cahoots with someone that may be doing right or someone that may be doing wrong, but you're still embedding that behavior. So, or validating
right.
that
I mean, for 9 minutes,
yeah,
I couldn't even stand there and talk to you in a conversation with my foot just casually resting on a basketball for 9 minutes.
Right. Anyway. Right. So let me ask you a question. Do you feel that they should be charged the same as the officer? I guess I won't use his name, but the officer that was doing the choking. Yes, you feel like that other officer should actually be in charged the same crime, in a sense, accomplice.
Oh, like
know?
A
I mean that was
like an aiding and abetting or accomplice
guard.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, he was watching and on guard. I mean, why shouldn't he be charged, you know, just as high a crime as, you know, as the officer that was doing it, you know? I mean, I just feel that he should be charged the same. He was on guard
and
watching.
Get an alert from 3 or 4 other people that were just out of the frame. You could hear them talking, check him, you know, he can't breathe. You're going to choke him. Check his pulse. You know, they were doing that for several minutes even. You know, he said, nope, I'll just watch my partner to make sure nobody throws a bottle and hit him in the head while he's choking this guy. You know,
and what they should have done.
I mean, it was almost that casual. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was saying that's what should have happened.
That's a good question for somebody who has legal expertise.
I'm not speaking violence, but that situation was going on right there, you're choking him that long, and your knee was in that position. Something should have happened. Mm. Like I said, someone should have called 911, something, okay, to shock their mind, the officers, because to realize, I mean, what are you doing? You know, wake up. You're killing this guy, you know. But it was intent. Like we said from start, it was intended. It was something else going on that they had to kill George Floyd, okay, that they was out to kill him. And totally freaking wrong, out of bounds, a crime that was wrong. But the problem is you have too many officers just to come up, oh, today I guess somebody to kill me. Give me a black man, you know. It's my calling today. Like, no, man. No, this can't keep flying like this. This can't keep flying like this.
No.
You know, and no. I don't want to get back into that mode I was back in the day, but I've been trying just to stay focused on other things, and I focus so hard on this. Because, yeah, there's people that talk a game, but I was in the game of with this, like we're talking about with this racism, sitting face to face and the anger, the hatred, you know, so it's different. It's different than someone that's going and writing a letter, okay? When you're out there in it, you don't mind, like, you throwing your, you know, you never know what's going to happen, so you have to point that you don't care, you know, and that's. That's why, you know, that's why I don't want to talk too much on it, on my what I was going through back with that. But, yeah, it's different. Also, too, what do you guys think about these riots that's going on? I don't. My opinion, Coach Hellback, what do you think about these riots? Do you think it's that they're out of control with the looting versus having a peaceful riot? I mean, peaceful demonstration. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I you know, I'm not a big on news because, you know, I'm still working on me. Like, you know, not to get off topic, but I grew up in a racist town too, so I understand what you're talking about. As in, it's like a blackout. You forget everything around you. You just respond
right.
and you react. But
right.
in terms of what you just asked me, you know, listening to the news, and then I also saw little nitbits of here and there where people that was outsiders coming in, you know, with the looting, rioting, graffiti, and they make it seem like it's the people that's in that town, like the black people that's out there trying to protest peacefully, but it's a lot of outsiders that's coming in causing this uproar, you know, and that's what I picked up from time to time.
But do I agree with the looting and the rioting? No. But in terms of anger, frustration, pent up, there's no more. I mean, there's nothing less you can expect, you know, at that boiling point. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what's going on, you know. But I don't agree with, you know, to the extent of like how everything is panning out.
Alan, what's your opinion about that?
Well, it's funny. Coach should shift gears about outsiders and protesters having a vested interest in actually protesting what, you know, they feel the protest is based on and what it really is about, not looting and outsiders creating agitation to stir up civil unrest, those two things. And in a nutshell and real quickly, I saw a video to explain what I'm talking about. I saw a video of these two gals. It was about three or four black young ladies, 25, 30-ish, and two white girls that were about the same age. They had the hammers in their hands or some kind of tool, and they were tapping these windows, busting the windows of storefronts out of these stores. And the young black girl said, "Hey, the two young white girls, they had black bandanas, black hats. I mean, you know, scarves or whatever, right. Black t-shirts, black pants. And they look, you know, like the news calls them Antifa protest. You know, they're out there with the protesters, but they're stirring up trouble. They're from out of town, you know. It generally is what I'm alluding to. Well, they're busting the windows out because they know that the blacks close by will bum rush the store and, you know, loot it or whatever. That's what they're trying to do, is bait them into actually, you know, creating more havoc. But the black gals were saying, whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing? Don't bust out those windows. We didn't ask you to do that. We're out here protesting, you know, for the life of someone who lost their life, not out here to steal stuff. What are you doing? Get out of here. And they ran them off. But I thought that was interesting because it happens quite a bit. And I've seen several videos, but that one, it clicked, and I said, it's being stirred up. And that's the bit. To give you one last tidbit of information, again, none of this is conjecture. Everything I say is sourced and, you know, et cetera. But real quickly, did anyone notice pallets of bricks out in about 20 towns across America, big, you know, major cities? They were delivering bricks in the middle of downtown, you know, on a pallet, like
bricks.
4 feet high, 4 foot square. Bricks, like, you know, the bricks you build buildings with, except for one thing. There are no building permits or no building going on to use those bricks. They were just stacked conveniently by storefronts, you know what I mean, on the side of the curb right there with a little yellow tape around them. And on the front of the bricks, you know, had a little sign, 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, you know, Acme Brick Company, you know, like Wile E. Coyote and you know, the cartoon, you know, Acme Brick Company. You know? Well, I'm not kidding now. I'm dead serious. Now, who do you think bought those bricks? They traced orders back, you know, to the owners, I mean, to who ordered them. Berkshire Hathaway is my understanding from the source, you know, its source. And
well, he ordered the
they
bricks.
Directly linked that. They Berkshire Hathaway, and it was linked back to Bill Gates. Now, Warren Buffett, I think, owns Berkshire Hathaway. They're both basically in, you know. So what I'm saying is this is high-level order implementation of a plan to stir up unrest, complete with bricks in which to bust windows with, you know, ready ammunition to throw. I mean, those things cost money. I can't pull my credit card out and just say, let me order a couple of pallets of bricks to be distributed to 20 cities across America. I think not. And for the purpose, so the rioters can have plenty of ammunition to throw through storefronts and bust all the windows. I'm not kidding, by the way. I'm absolutely serious.
And who approved that?
I saw the film. I saw the film footage. Saw the signs on the bricks. I mean, I've sourced it on the. It's incredible. It blew me away.
Who's basically like this? Let me ask you a question. Who's promoting this?
The globalists are trying their best to destroy and create disturbances in America. There's even a document, a blueprint on how to do it, which they've distributed and has been uncovered and has been displayed on the news sources. I saw it and couldn't even believe it. I mean, I know of incredible things and covert activity and all kind of nefarious, hidden agendas happen. But boy, oh boy, this is extreme. And there's more to the story that we'll find out.
Coach, what do you think about that?
I'm not surprised, though, because it can be in terms of creating leverage, making this commotion between whites and black, not trying to sound racist or anything like that. But
no, that is exactly it's to create a division in America.
Mm-hmm. Right,
that's
right,
you're right.
Right.
Because the pandemic failed. It ran out of gas.
Right.
That control ran out of gas.
Being submissive, creating chaos, and trying to stay on top. You know, that's how I look at
order
it.
Out of
know, like,
order out of chaos. Order out of chaos. You got it. Yes, sir.
So
you see now the I'm sorry. I was just going to say the problem is with these things occurring now, it's causing people of all walks of life to ask questions. So this is a great time to be alive, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah. So
humanity
my
is waking up.
So you saying that? Okay, I'm gonna say this first. I think the anger is causing people to. They feel like just walking during the protest is not enough. It's like, okay, they're going to walk for a couple of days. All right, get them to get some exercise. They said that to say, okay, let them go home. And they feel like, no, we're going to put some fire up under this. We're going to burn some buildings. We're going to do some extra wrong curricular activities to get people's attention. So I kind of see what Coach is saying. I think that's what's going on. I'm not saying that it's right, but another way, that's some people, that's the only way they feel that they're going to get people's attention. And guess what? They're getting attention. They're getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand when you burn these buildings up and you destroy these buildings, you actually affect other people's jobs, where they work at, and especially
right.
So you have to something like you said, there are, and I do believe that there's other people's coming in from other. That's what they do. Like some people, like every year we're going to ride. But something happened. Okay, let's get our ride group. Let's just go to this state. Let's go to the next state. To stand up for
it's
what?
It's on record.
To understand.
It's on record that people have been paid to do that. They bus them in. It's on record.
Yeah. Protests are one thing, but rides is. You know, you understand, too, because you can cause, that can actually cause, no one's going to cause harm to someone. Someone can end up getting killed. You know, like I saw this car the other day. They said this yesterday on the news. This guy, I think it was yesterday, ran over a couple of patrons. I mean, even the video that was done, that was, I think it was tear gas or those hand grenades that was shot out there and people was running. I was way, way away. Trust me. I was way, way off of it. And like I said, I wouldn't do good with anything like this right now. This is because of previous things I've been in my life through. And I would say, too, about the officer. We're talking about this officer and what he did to George Floyd puts a bad image on the hardworking officers who goes out there every night during the day to risk their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some officers that's really, really good people of all different nationalities. And you have this idiot, this guy, the devil just was just in him. And, you know, when I see things happen, I see things, just not the person. I'm seeing what's in the person. The same thing, Alan, you said your aunt, someone said your grandpa, yeah. You can understand. See, it's a different than looking at a person and seeing what's actually in that person. Almost like a little dog can see see things that you can't see. What's into that person? The hatred, the demon that's in it. That's how I see. Okay. And also that'll go in the book too. I won't get too deep, but that's what I see. Okay, the feel, and I just that's what my thing was. If something should have been done, someone should call help. Another police officer, even as a family or a friend that knows an officer, anything to make a call to say that this police officer is doing wrong to George Floyd. And it's just a tragedy, and it's very, very sad. It's very, very sad. And, you know, two wrongs.
And I'm just going
right?
to be.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to cut y'all. No, go ahead. Finish
up.
I'm going to cut y'all.
No, I'm good.
I'm just going to be candid. You know, this me, like, I'm just going to be candid. Me just, it was like a traumatic experience, you know. I had like, blood family members dealt with cops in a high environment, hostile environment, you know, run down, chase down, slam, taser, you know, in between that, you know, we was provoked, you know, and the first thing came to my mind, like, this me, I'm just being transparent. If I was there, I probably would have went up there and hit the cop or pushed the cop or threw something at the cop. You know what I mean? That's me,
right,
as in the experience
right
that I had growing up. So as in you saying somebody right being a distraction or throwing a distraction, that popped to my mind immediately when I saw it as me watching what this officer was doing, because I witnessed stuff like this before, you know?
Right.
So I get
right
emotional because, you know, it just
yes,
it just provokes
yes you
me.
And a,
yeah.
Right. And you and I guess all through, that's what's an amazing thing. You and I, we understand history that we've been through and things we've seen. And it's like you get that anger and it's like, okay, you know, officer, you know, you're doing wrong. We have some armed people here that's licensed to carry. You need to let loose. I know it wouldn't be that nice. You understand what I'm saying? But it's just even talking about this topic to me right now is draining to me. It's like I'm out of gas.
Right.
You want to start the guys before you guys got on? I was so, it's so just draining. It's just to talk about it. And I'm saying draining. I'm not saying just the negative, the anger. Just the anger, in a sense, you know. But see, the thing is this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is gonna understand. And I'm, you know, as black men, we've all been stopped by officers. I've had some officers couldn't have been as nice to be stop me. You understand that? And some officers, you know, just I can count on some that's had like a little attitude. But I was always taught to obey. You know, you obey the officers.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if something's out of hand and something's going on, then there's things can be different. But I'm saying is that first thing, y'all, obey the officer's command, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, because he's of authority. That's his job. But, you know, unfortunately, you have some spots out there that's very, very bad. And we have to make sure that those companies, when I'm speaking about this guy, and also, too, this particular officer had many, many complaints and against him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to those, it's up to that department in Minnesota to go back and reevaluate and get it right. You know, it's each department needs to. You know, if that person's not right, you know, guys that stand up, he's not right. He cannot make the team. He's not good enough. He can't stand the pressure. He can't do this. He flares off too fast. This is not for him. He needs to just get retirement and go. I mean, you have to do these things. I know it sounds kind of corny, but that's realistic. It's not corny. That's what has to be done to clean up some of this hatred that some of us has carried out there among these guys. And they need to be re-interviewed. They need to be interviewed twice a year, these officers.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewed and have somebody from another department to come in there and interview them. Not the buddies you got around there. No, not them. No, it needs some other people to come in.
How about other cops? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overstep. Y'all just trying to interject, saying how about other cops to interview them from other, you know, some kind of other connectedness, but not connectedism.
Yes.
So because they speak cop, they can read cop, they know how to ask the right questions to get, you know, the performance profiles. In other words, the non-hostile, unreasonably hostile attituded cops get them off the force, the ones that are looking to, you know, vendetta.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. And that's what me, and that's what our president needs to start preaching this week. He needs to start preaching that there's going to be training, and not just training, there's going to be interviews in, of every cop department, every police department. And we have cops from other departments to go into other states, other counties, to interview, to check these cops out to see if they're ready to go. You know, because you have some cops that have been on this force too long. They're going through things at home, and they just go and they abuse of authority, and they're going to take it out on somebody.
Yep.
You know, so you just need to kind of get involved. Mm-hmm. Like, man, listen, you understand this is our job, but you can't use this toward anybody to hurt them because you have this title. Because at the end of the day, when you hurt this person because of that title, guess what? Now you're going to come down to reality with everybody else. I see them same cops, like I said at the beginning of the show, they wish now that they were distracted. Because now they're going through hell now. Well, they're getting it now.
Hey, y'all, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just want to cross-collateralize and ask you a question over there. Stevie mentioned a very good thing about, you know, having cops interview other cops, just, you know, these little spot interviews for, you know, checking to see if they're on this vendetta train or not, to, you know, to stay on the force or not, whatever. But there's only two ways, either like Stevie's talking about, either professional, you know, cop interviewing a cop or someone professionally trained in that psychological aspect of things, you know, interviewing questions, either they have to do it, one of the two. And I just want to ask you, if you were looking for an excellent football player or sports player, would you ask another high-ended sports player his opinion of his skill, you know, of that third-person skill? Or would you ask, say, who's an expert, a scout, you know, a high-ended, successful scout, ask his opinion on this new guy who wants to, you know, join professional sports? You would ask one of those two, right? So they would give you a very good opinion.
Yes,
an accurate opinion. So why not do the same thing with cops? Have another cop interview a cop or someone professionally totally trained for this specific job role who's not a cop, perhaps, to interview the cops. Exactly. And just and it can be done quickly, and it can be done, like Stevie says, twice a year or whatever, you know, the structure is, to kind of help, you know, isolate on these cops that are maybe off the chain, give them a chance to restructure themselves and show some restraint. Or, you know, we have to ask you to go.
And you and because I've seen some footage and tapes that, you know, like I said, I don't want to get mad. I'm not saying before George Floyd, I've seen some things happen that was intentional, that abuse of power and killing among men, black men. And see, I listen to the show. Some guy been calling his name on the show at night, saying that everybody should speak up and everything. But what you maybe affecting you, or what you consider some things that you've been through, may not affect the other person, what they may be going through, something similar. You understand what I'm saying? So everybody is he's right in many ways. He's right in many ways, but. Like I say, this is draining and hard. I want to talk about it and get it out, but like all thrills, we know that other that other channel that we don't want to go in, you know. And
yeah,
it's there. It's always there, but because we want to believe that people can do better, but unfortunately,
right.
The devil got control of them, you know, and that's the sad part of it. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show, someone sent me a message and said, what do you think about what's going on in the world? I said, it's not enough prayer in the world, number one. And the sad thing about it, we were just talking about last time, right? We were talking about how it was so many million atheists. No prayer. The devil's winning. He's sitting back right now, laughing at everybody, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That demon came into that man, that officer. Okay, now he's gone. Okay, now the officer looking stupid. He don't know what happened to him because he was riding with the devil from a long time. Okay, and it was in him, and he didn't care to get it out of him. That's another thing we got to understand is this. That's what I'm saying. He didn't care to get out of it. And see, that's the problem with the world today. A lot of us know that we're sick with racism, and we don't care to get it out of us. But one thing about it, you're going to get it. It's going to be gotten out of you. You may not be on this earth, but when you're dead and gone, we got somebody waiting on you. We got somebody waiting on you.
Yeah.
It's going to come. It ain't no such thing, no white heaven, no black heaven either. Okay? Ain't no white church, no black church. Even though we practice it, people do it. Right? There's a lot of black churches and white churches. But it's one there's one hell and one heaven. Okay?
And just like that, there's good cops and bad cops. And man, let me interject this real quick. I forgot all about this. I told you I'd do some research, and since I was 12, my brother was an investigative journalist in New York and Manhattan on the radio every day and blah, blah, blah. So I'm kind of cheating a little bit. I had a head start as a young kid. But at any rate, I went and looked. According to the FBI, FBI.gov, everybody can go take a look on their cell phones or whatever. But I wanted to know, what's the rate of everyone's talking about, so many people in custody during arrest are killed and this, that. And I said, well, who, black, white, Hispanic? What's the breakdown? Let's just talk black and white, no pun intended. And they said, FBI.gov, the bottom line is this. Out of 10,000 people arrested, blacks, there are 3 deaths, for every 10,000 arrested. For every 10,000 white people, 4 people are killed. One more killed. And as I was reading, and I saw a comment, and it said something about, but there is more white people in America than black. But the math in me said, what difference does that make when for every 10,000 white people, 4 are killed in, under police arrest in America? For blacks, every 10,000 blacks, 3 are killed. So more are killed that are white in police custody than black. So because there are more white people in America, twice as many whites being killed than blacks in police custody.
But got a good point, Mr. Adams. Go ahead, finish it. I'm sorry. I mean to
now, that, like I said, those are just numbers. That's the math of it. But now, who's trying to manipulate this to make it seem and to get the velocity of anger and disturbance in America from the manipulating that data? Why are these things being hidden out on the mainstream news, but yet we all know the name of Floyd, but we don't know the name of the 10 white people who have been killed since January or whatever in police custody? We know Aubrey over there in Georgia. We have the names of 2 or 3 or 4 of the last black cases, but not one. Like I said early on when I came on, we don't even know the name of the officer that was shot in the head in Vegas.
Right.
Sitting in his police car, finding his own bit. So anyway, what I'm saying is, it seems to me that there's a huge amount of manipulation of the process to create disturbance on purpose, because something else is what they're after. Then they need the help of this chaos in order for order. So that's what I'll say, and I'll be quiet about that, because all of this is not by mistake. The disruptiveness of the economy, right after the disruptions of the political process prior to that, right after this pandemic is easing down, pow, you have flashpoints, flashpoint mobs all over America right on cue. It's time we all start asking some serious questions.
It's funny you say that, because I think what the officer, when this happened, They got his behind straight out of Minnesota, didn't they? He's nowhere near Minnesota.
I don't believe so. I believe you're correct. I know that. I think after the toxicology report came back from Floyd with the fentanyl in his system and all, I think, you know, with they were saying he died of asphyxia, you know, the airway cut off, and et cetera.
Poor circulation.
They didn't need, yeah, because I know in police organizations, those kind of things happen. You know, the law has to work its course. There's a cause and effect relationship. The cause of death comes back. The coroner announces it. Boom. Then the lawyers go into mode, the DA or whatever, to file the charges based on the evidence, not just what we feel like. And the evidence is, yeah, death by asphyxiation, blah, 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 boom. Grab the cop, okay, indict him, okay? So they went through that process, and it was relatively quick, and I don't know where he is now or where in custody or whatever the charges, but the bottom line is America's sick of hearing this, be it black or white, but America's getting sick of just inhumane treatment across all kinds of boundaries. And
but see,
I'm sure
the
good cops are sick of hearing this too, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's the thing, like, you can't rewrite history, but are we trying to change history, you know, in terms of, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, identify what's right, what's wrong, identify people as people, not identify people by colors, and don't judge and pass
mm-hmm.
judgment, you know. So, and then you have people in high places still have these underlying reservation of being racist. It can be black or white or
mm-hmm.
Spanish or whatnot, but it shows that, you know, racism never would leave us, you know. But at the same time, like, what are you trying to do to prevent racism or prevent these outbreaks or prevent, you know, maladaptive behaviors or injustice, you know, not just only in the cops, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's just corruption all across.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, yes.
But some are being more magnified.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just
have to all get back to our humanity. We all have to get back to a sense of honor and transparency and quit, like Stevie said, allowing the devil to run rampant within our souls that will cause
right.
us to look the other way. Let me get
mm-hmm.
mine. I'll just go ahead and go along with the payoff. I'll go ahead
yes.
and, you know, be bought
yes.
out and get mine up. And, you
yes.
know, yeah. See, people have to stop that because that
yes.
just erodes society like bleach does
yes.
on your nice pants that you spilled. Eats a hole,
that's
right?
right.
And it won't stop.
That's right. That's right. And that's the problem. It's like, okay, I have mine. You know, I'm on. Like I tell man, it's like, you know, it's some people their whole life and they just talk. Even though my life,
mm-hmm.
I've just been talking. I haven't been just been talking. And I don't have to get a whole bunch of likes and, you know, and people promote somebody they haven't done Jack Daniels. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, my history speaks for itself, you know. So, and I got some things I just, people know from growing up and like they spilt out there with KKK, you know, it's just, I started it up. I sure did. Yeah, I did. But,
mm-hmm.
Was right, was wrong, was wrong. And that's just what I want everybody
mm-hmm.
to feel that way. You know, I want everybody to be that way. And people look at my life, they go back and see what happened when I was in high school. If you follow it through my life, you understand. So
mm-hmm.
I don't get too far in it. It's a whole another 100 years of a story. But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of follow the river, you know, follow the stream.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah. So I'm not, like I said, that's what's kind of been. I've been trying to. I'm glad you guys called in because this is feel about George Floyd's death. Put it like that. I mean,
yeah.
don't play with me. Don't play with me. You know, I don't have to. You know, we all understand about, we all, it's something that we all, where we came from, we experience racism over and over and over in our lives. And we understand, we see it. there's people out there I've been around my life that's, oh, no racism, oh, really? Oh, that's not like that. I'm like, you idiot. I mean, you just, what pen are you from? But I'm glad you feel that hope. But, and the strength, the saddest things our kids are seeing today. Our kids are seeing it, and now they know. You can't hide it, parents, no more. You can't hide the racism no more, parents. Can't hide it.
Right.
You
got
to tell the truth and do what's right. You know?
That's right.
But, fight
between good and evil shows up in all things.
Yeah. Go ahead, Coach Howell back. You want to go ahead and give us some comments, last comments, because we have about 3 minutes left in the show. We want to, again, tell us how to reach you again, and also, too, give a few comments, last comments, and then I'll go to you, Alan, and we'll shut the show down. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to kind of just put it out there, just, you know, I think it's more in terms of just educating yourself, just being able to have that empathy, sympathy, and just stand up for what's right, you know. Like I said, it doesn't matter what nationality or background. I mean, we all can make a change, but it got to start within, you know, at the end of the day. So I enjoyed the show, and I can be reached at Instagram, Bobby Hallback, or email BobbyHallback@gmail.com. Thanks for the opportunity, and I appreciate y'all time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for calling in. We'll catch you next week on the next show. We'll catch you next week. Thanks again.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Alan, you want to leave us some thoughts?
Yes, I would just simply say everyone can always look inside themselves and try to make themselves a better person simply by spotting evil and rooting it out. That's simple. That start will leave us at a tremendous end.
That's the key. Could you repeat that again, please?
Yes, I said look inside yourself and find evil and root it out. Because we are all fallen. We're just all trying to be better. Challenge you to be better.
Alan, I really appreciate it. Thanks for calling the show. I hope I really do think our audience got some really, really good insight today on a lot of good thoughts, things to think about for the future. Thanks again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ryan. You guys have a great night. Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Well, for our listeners, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I want to say, again, thanks for Coach Bobby Hallback calling in, Alan Jones. And, yes, we have to keep prayer alive to keep our minds going in a positive way and doing positive things for people. We got to pray for those with the evil intent and that's running around with the devil every day, daily, from that black, white, green, yellow, and we have to, male and female, we have to pray for that. And we have to pray for the officers that protect us, our law enforcement, to get clean, to clean that evilness out the law enforcement companies, to get that evil racism out of the departments. We hope that there will be counseling and people going in and checking on that. Because this guy affected the good officers. And we want to send our prayers out to George Floyd's family, his loved ones. We hope that they can reach the prayer to keep them staying active and moving in life. I know it's rough and it's hard, but our prayers go out. Guys, two wrongs don't make a right. George Floyd killed. That should not kill. So God said, Jesus Christ, violent riots, looting, stealing, fires, etc. It should not steal. What would God say if he called into the Stevenson radio show? What does God think when he looks down and sees this? Again, what do you think God would say if he called into the radio show? Also, too, what do you think he sees when you look at this, what's going on in the world? Guys, keep your prayers going. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Keep moving forward in life. Stay with me today.
in the park on a Saturday.